Kia ora, Kofu Smithaho, Nga mai ki te whare, welcome to the House. On this show, following the workings and agenda of Parliament as we do, the minister we probably refer to or interview most often is not the Prime Minister. It is instead a ministerial role that's often overlooked, the Leader of the House. The title, as you might expect with Parliament, is incredibly misleading. For a start, the Leader of the House is neither Parliament's leader nor its boss. That's the Speaker. What they are is a senior government minister who oversees the government's legislative agenda. And for the new government, that person is Chris Bishop. It's a very busy role. Luckily, it's usually held by ministers who already have far too many portfolios.
Yes, I'm the Minister of Housing, Infrastructure, Sport, RMA Reform, Associate Finance, MP for Hutt South, and Leader of the House as well.
Yeah, and luckily none of them are, very big or anything.
Oh, look, I like to be busy, so it's okay. I spent my entire political career being busy, so it's good.
Now, when you started at Parliament, you started in the office, I think, of Jerry Brownlee, is that correct?
I did, yeah. So I worked for Jerry from 2008 to 2011 when he was Leader of the House. Loved doing that job, and now I get to do it myself, which is cool.
So when someone is the minister who's responsible for Parliament's legislative agenda, what we call the Leader of the House, they have someone typically in their office that helps them with that, who's an expert on that kind of thing, and that was you, right?
Yeah, ministers are lucky that they've got people to assist with, you know, all sorts of things from the official level all the way through to management of Parliament and how that runs. And I've got great staff in my office, so very lucky. And there's, I suppose, a nice bit of symmetry where I used to do the job. Actually, interestingly, Chris Hipkins used to do the same job for Michael Cullen, I believe. And then he, you know, became Leader of the House under the last Labor government. It's just the way it is, I suppose.
Is it one of those jobs that is so complex, convoluted and sort of mysterious that you really have to have had some sort of background in it?
I think it suits people who enjoy Parliament. I think it'd be fair to say Chris Hipkins and Grant Robertson, who's done the job as well in the last government, both real parliamentarians. They think the institution's very important, accountability's very important. Parliament's people, a bit like the Speaker in some respects as well. I'm a great lover of Parliament, and so I think it suits people who like the kind of intricacies, shall we say, of how Parliament works, which has its own arcane and sometimes weird rules, but I quite enjoy that.
But in order to be Leader of the House, you really do have to actually understand those rules, don't you? You have to have a kind of a mindset and a body of knowledge, a little bit like a clerk does.
I think it suits someone who's got a bit of parliamentary experience. So, you know, I've been an MP for 9 years, 3 years as a backbencher in government, and then 6 years in opposition, working my way up the seniority, both in terms of longevity in terms of Parliament, but also seniority in terms of portfolios and rankings and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it does suit. Typically, the Leader of the House has been a senior MP. You know, Michael Cullen did it for 9 years. He was Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance. I don't know how he fit it all in around all that stuff. Jerry Brownlee, you know, senior minister for a long time as well. Simon Bridges has done it as well. So typically it's a senior MP. And so is the shadow leader of the House on the other side as well.
I think that Robert Muldoon used to do it for himself when he was the Prime Minister.
Yeah, well, Rob Muldoon was minister of many things alongside being Prime Minister. He was finance and foreign affairs, some would say, even if not in name. But Parliament's very different from the 1970s and early 1980s.
It is. The role didn't entirely exist as a thing back then. We should probably do a little bit of explaining what it really is, though. Outline this thing, this Leader of the House job.
The most fundamental job is they're in charge of what government business gets debated and when. That's the most important thing. So, the government has a whole series of bills on the order paper, which is the sort of agenda of what Parliament considers. But we get to decide when and how they're debated. Being in charge of that is an important job. And then also overseeing, from a cabinet point of view, the bills that are going through cabinet to get them through the system. There's a whole machinery behind. The public kind of see MPs speaking in the House in the evenings or afternoons on bills, but to get to that point, there's a massive amount of work from departments, from public, from consultation, you know, from officials giving advice, from ministers making decisions. There's a huge amount of work. And so I've got to kind of oversee that from a process point of view.
The Cabinet Subcommittee, the Cabinet Legislation Committee, and you run that basically?
Yes,
right?
I'm the chair of the Legislation Committee. So there's a whole bunch of Cabinet committees which are essentially subcommittees of the full Cabinet. I chair the Legislation Committee in my role as Leader of the House. And, we've set up the cabinet committees. They're up and running in the new parliament and the new government, and we're just working our way through the work programme, literally as we speak.
Everyone kind of imagines that cabinet sits around in a big room up on the top of this building and debate everything in the room. But actually, it's all done in the subcommittees, right? So in that cabinet legislation committee, that's where people actually go, who's going to write this? How's it going to be? When it turns up, is it what we asked for? Is it going to do it properly? You're the sort of the quality control check, is that right?
Yeah, there's basically a two-stage process. Ministers will make decisions on policy and cabinet will decide what policy they want to implement and how to do it. And then if that requires legislation, sometimes it doesn't require legislation, but often it does, then drafting instructions are issued to the people who do actually do the technical drafting of the bills, what's called the Parliamentary Council Office, or PCO, as they're known around the traps. Once the policy becomes a draft piece of legislation, it comes to the Legislation Committee and then to the full Cabinet. Everything that goes into Parliament is signed off by Cabinet. And look, Cabinet talks about lots of different things. The sort of heavy lifting, the detailed analysis is done in the committees.
Yeah, otherwise Cabinet would just go on and on. It would be interminable.
Well, sometimes it does go on and on. But look, I mean, it just depends on what's on the agenda for each day
absolutely.
And each week. But, you know, it rises and falls a bit. But the heavy lifting is done in the cabinet committees, a bit like the way Parliament works, where the detailed scrutiny of legislation is done in the select committees, and that's the kind of parliamentary side of things. And so my role is to be the fusion point or the nexus between the executive, cabinet government, and the Parliament, which are separate institutions with their own rules and their own accountabilities. That's my job, is to be the liaison point.
Stuck in the middle.
Stuck in the middle. I'm not usually one for being in the middle, but I am in this.
Just jumping back briefly, though, we were talking about drafting legislation. That's something you've actually got experience with as well, right? When you were in opposition, you were actually responsible for a lot of the drafting of the National Party's members' bills.
Well, I don't want to overstate my role, but I'm a lover of Parliament and I good lawmaking, and so I did draft a few bills, some of which become law, some of which have not. I think I've had two members' bills pass in my own name and a variety that have passed in other members' names. I enjoy lawmaking and the trying to get the process right as well. Sometimes the Leader of the House role is a person who's meant to stick up for good process a bit as well. And so there's that kind of almost quasi-constitutional role in the system as well. So it's a multifaceted role.
It really is. Now, so you talked about yourself being stuck between the executive and the parliament, the two institutions that kind of make government. You're also kind of stuck between the parties to some extent, right? You do a lot of, or your people do for you, a lot of negotiation, both in the business committee, which is the formal way that that happens, but also just keeping on top of things with the other whips, with the shadow leader and so on.
Fundamentally, it's a combative institution. It's a contest of ideas and a contest of policies, and that's super important, and it's really important that we preserve that. But also, there's a lot of things that happen on a quite bipartisan basis where it just requires negotiation. And so the business committee is the biggest forum for that, but there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes. I mean, when we do a motion, for example, in Parliament about commemorating a death of someone or a sporting success that the House wishes to celebrate, or a lot of that stuff is negotiated behind the scenes, and I've got a bit of a role on that. Anything that happens in Parliament or in a committee, I generally know about or should know about, or my staff do, and so we're just keeping a watching brief on all of that is really important. Governments like to run have the House be tidy, to use a favourite expression of the current Speaker, Gerry Brownlee. You want to make sure things are tidy. And when Parliament, gets unruly and falls apart, it does tend to reflect on the government as well. So governments like to keep a tidy Parliament.
That makes sense. You need it, well, to be efficient apart from anything else, because you've got a lot of work to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bit of a view that Parliament passes too many pieces of legislation. I think Sir Geoffrey Palmer, former Prime Minister and Leader of the House,
I'm sure he would agree with that.
Would agree. And there's a massive weight of statute law that affects New Zealanders, alongside all the regulations and tertiary rules that go with it. My sort of starting point is scepticism about legislation to fix every social problem. Potentially reflects my centre-right political leanings. We're only going to legislate when we have to. The Parliament so far in the new government, or the new life of the Parliament, has passed a lot of repeal pieces of legislation and things that unpick what's gone before. And there's been a bit of criticism for saying, oh, well, the government doesn't stand for anything positive or constructive, but I would say, actually, getting rid of things that are bad law or things that you don't think will make a difference, that by definition, if you flip it around the other way, that is a positive thing to do. So repealing things is not necessarily a bad thing. We can't just keep passing law after law after law expecting things to get better. Sometimes you've got to unpick the bad ones. It's like government programs. Sometimes government does a lot of stuff, spends a lot of money on programs, and they just get layered one upon each other, and no one ever steps back and says, well, hang on a minute, is what we're doing actually making a difference? And the Auditor General has said similar things in increasingly strident tones over the last 2 or 3 years. And they've also made some quite strong remarks, which the new Parliament and government's going to have to grapple with, around scrutiny of spending and the performance metrics, because there is quite a sophisticated, at least in theory, system of how Parliament should hold government to account for the money that Parliament appropriates to the government. That's fundamentally how it works in our system. And you know, I think there's some improvements we can make there around how the Parliament, the legislature, holds the executive to account for what they're doing with the money that Parliament gives them.
Mm. There's a second reason, I suppose, which brings us back to your role as the man in charge of legislation, why repeals are really useful early on, and that is that actually it takes a long time to write a bill that isn't a repeal, right? I mean, repeals are pretty simple pieces of legislation, mostly. What might be described as a constructive bill, you know, something that tries to do a new thing, they're really hard to write.
Yeah, it can take a very long time to draft legislation. Depends on the complexity, the subject matter. Repeal bills generally are pretty simple. Parliament last year passed the Tax Principles Act repeal bill. That essentially gets rid of a section of the law that requires the IRD to publish a report. That's basically it. So we got rid of that. It didn't take very long. It was pretty
easy.
You
didn't have to add a new section. You were just taking one out.
No, just took it out. So that didn't take very long. We also repealed the National Built Environment Act at the end of last year, and that was more complicated than I think probably some people thought. We had to have a bunch of transitional provisions. We had to keep little parts of it on the law and things like that. So even within the repeal sort of spectrum, there's complexity. That's just the way Parliament works.
For the Leader of the House, then, this is not only satisfying things you promised to do, it also gives you a chance for the hamsters to be desperately sprinting on the wheel trying to write the other legislation.
Yeah, I remember when the government changed from National to Labor back in 2017, and we were in opposition. We used to give Labor grief for how they were just passing bills left over on the order paper from the last government. And, of course, the practical reality, as you rightly say, is that you have an election, you form a government, that takes a couple of weeks. You can't actually start to make decisions about what you do legislation-wise and start drafting bills until the government's formed and you've been sworn in and all of that, and that just takes time. But then Parliament starts sitting immediately. And so one of the things we've been doing in these first 100 days is really driving the system really hard to get bills through. And, you know, we've accomplished quite a lot, I would argue. So once we got through that 100 days, Parliament will, you know, sort of go back to some form of normality, shall we say, where it's just a slightly more regular sitting schedule, non-controversial bills and controversial bills, likewise, members' days as well, which the opposition gets a chance to put forward bills as well. So
you are, along with the whips, the person that's most likely to get to your feet in the House and argue with the Speaker, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, reflecting the fact that the Leader of the House is typically a sort of senior MP.
And has a grasp of the rules, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. you know, the battle between the way in which standing orders is interpreted, is a minister's answer appropriate, is it not, is a procedure not being followed, there's any number of things, and anyone who's watched Parliament for any length of time will know that MPs like to try it on a bit from both sides of the House.
But trying it on is part of your role, right?
These days I'm sort of more defending the government side of things. True. Maybe when in opposition as shadow leader, it was more sort of pushing the boundaries a bit. Look, it's typically senior members who do that, and the Leader of the House, as I say, tends to be a senior member. But there's also other members of Parliament who the Speaker will call upon for their expertise, shall we say. Jonathan Hunt, former Speaker Hunt, would always call upon Richard Preble. Michael Cullen, who was Leader of the House but also a senior MP. Chris Hipkins, Grant Robertson. These are people with have been around for a while. They know how the place works. They've got a love of the place. I think they're genuine parliamentarians. And so the Speaker tends to go to those people. Look, the way this place works is the longer you hang around for, the more you pick up. You know, seniority matters around Parliament. Whether or not that's a good thing or not, I'll leave that for others to judge. But the way the system works at the moment is seniority matters.
Yeah. No, well, there's a lot to understand. Cool. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All good.
That was National Party MP and Leader of the House, Chris Bishop. You've been listening to The House. Te whakaranga koe ki te whare. This program is produced with funding from Parliament's Office of the Clerk. Mā te wā.